Welcome to another edition of Sea Control, your moment of Papuan recap from the Center for International Maritime Security. Today, we're joined by Claude Barrow-Bay and Michael Madrid to talk about the Defense Entrepreneurs Conference X at Annapolis. Remember to subscribe on iTunes and search your stream radio. Rate 5 stars and leave a comment. Did I just mention to rate 5 stars and leave a comment? You should probably rate 5 stars and leave a comment. Tell a friend. We think Sea Control is a very fine product, and anyone who says otherwise is wearing a mask and raising the Russian flag over Crimea. Now, sit back and enjoy the show.
Welcome to another edition of Sea Control, your moment of PowerPoint rehab from the Center for International Maritime Security. Today we have an exciting episode. This weekend finished up DEFX Annapolis, so Defense Entrepreneurs Forum. So really exciting time for some midshipmen, junior officers, and entrepreneurs in general to come meet, talk about innovation, talk about military leadership and other topics. Really exciting time, really fun breakout groups, really fun speakers. We have one of them here, Claude Barrow-Bay. I almost said Barrow-Bay, sorry, force of habit. And also Michael Madrid, who is the planner of the conference. Thanks for joining me, gentlemen.
Yes, of course. Good to be here.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
Well, Mike, since this was your show, I'll let you start off and introduce yourself. Give the audience the important beats you think for who you are and where you're coming from.
Yeah, of course. So, as Matt said, my name is Michael Madrid. I'm from Washington State originally, currently going to school at the Naval Academy in Annapolis. I'm in my senior year as a mid. I'll be joining the surface warfare community and heading out to a DDG in Yokosuka, Japan after graduation. The way I got involved with the Defense Entrepreneurs Forum at first is I was able to attend their inaugural conference out in Chicago this past October. And it really struck home. I was very interested in the core tenets of the conference and the network that it developed, and I was really excited about the ideas that were shared. So when I came back to Annapolis, I pitched this idea to some friends who had a similar mindset. And independently of the Naval Academy and not in any official capacity, I'll drop that disclaimer there, we went ahead and planned a regional conference and called it DEFX. It's indicated sort of like a regional chapter. And we had a conference here in Annapolis this past Saturday. So it's the culmination of several months of work. And we were really excited to bring people together from all over the Virginia, Maryland, D.C. area, and even some students from universities up north. And it was a mix of students and professionals, entrepreneurs, JOs, teachers, historians, a whole mix. And it was really that diversity in background and perspective that I think brought a lot of added value to the conversation.
Yeah, it was really interesting to see the different, very varied mix of folks that you were able to bring. And one of them is Claude Barrow-Bay. I paused because I was about to say Barrow-Bay again. I don't know what is wrong with me and why I can't say that last name correctly. But you are an author, a historian, and a retired naval officer. You run. Go ahead.
Not quite retired. I've got a few years left, but I'm back in the reserves.
Okay, perfect. See, look at that. I'm a terrible podcaster. Don't do any of my research beforehand. Make a fool of myself. All right. Well, sir, if you could, go ahead and give the audience what you think are the important beats, and feel free to plug all four of your books.
Claude Barrow-Bay, I'm currently the director of the Naval Academy Museum in Annapolis, and I also teach in the history department, teach naval history, and I've taught a few other courses in poli-sci as well. I've been a defense contractor, worked on Capitol Hill, worked for Office of Naval Intelligence for a while, and had some active duty assignments both overseas and here in the States. And latest book is The Aiden Effect. It's in my first novel. It's published by Naval Institute Press. And the first three books were first one was a naval biography of Captain Charles Stewart. Second book was on Congress. It was a college textbook. And the third one was on private security companies at sea.
Perfect. So we have youthful exuberance and mature experience both here at the same time. And then me, it's kind of stuck somewhere in the middle. All right. Well, Mike, maybe you could talk a little bit about the process of DEF. What was give us a laydown of how you viewed the conference, how it went, some of the guests that you brought and why. And Claude and I can riff off of that and talk about our observations and some of the things that we saw there.
That sounds great. Definitely was a huge learning experience the entire way. There's a lot that goes into planning an event like that that I never would have even imagined at the beginning. But luckily, I had a very great team to work with. There were 9 of us midshipmen total, a couple seniors, a handful of juniors, and even a freshman. So we spent a lot of time working together, but also figuring out our different roles. One person was in charge of mainly the outreach, contacting students at other universities across the Eastern Seaboard and generating interest. Another person was in charge of all the tech equipment and the preparations. That way, one person in charge of graphics, logistics, you get the idea. And so there was, of course, all the administrative things to repair, finding a venue, making up an agenda. We also had to invite speakers and make sure they would be able to make it and nail down topics and things like that. And I really drew a lot from my experience in Chicago, the things that we all noted were the highlights of the conference, and tried to recreate those here in Annapolis. The original conference in Chicago was a 3-day event. However, we stuck to 1 day for ours because we thought it'd be best to do 1 day really well. And we picked a Saturday in early March, so March 1st. And our venue actually turned out to be an interesting one as well. We used a conference room that was at the top floor of a boathouse on College Creek, belonging to St. John's College. It was a very nice venue, a great big open room with podium and speakers and all of that, but it also had a great view of the creek, and it turned out to be a beautiful day, so we even were able to go outside for a little bit during lunch. A lot of the work we did was making sure we had the right kind of people coming, making sure we did outreach to the right types of audiences. So we reached out to student networks that were interested in entrepreneurialism or entrepreneurship, and we reached out to student networks that were interested in the defense sector, small business, and things like that. Definitely relied quite a bit on the DEF network from the people that were originally in Chicago, and definitely relied on the networks of each of the members of the board, people that they knew from all sorts of universities, from George Washington to Georgetown, Virginia Tech, up even to West Point, and some schools up north.
One of the things I found rather remarkable about the conference is we had pretty standard, and when I say standard, I mean that in a good way, guys like Claude, who are sort of the vanguard, and then you had Army cadets there from George Mason. So a whole body of folks from civilian to there was the former Army guy who was working C2 kind of tech in the civilian world. He had some civilians working on human performance like Andrew Hare and Helicase. That was fascinating, but it was a really, really diverse group of people. So, Claude, maybe you could talk a little bit about your experience.
Yeah, I was just watching around the room and talking to folks in between the sessions. What I found interesting was the number of younger folks, and this was something I touched upon in my talk on the 1830s Navy and how a bunch of junior officers changed the Navy. And I was incredibly surprised at the number, and I would say the average age was probably somewhere between 25, 28 of the 100 or so attendees. Mike can probably give me a better figure, but that's very encouraging because these are the thinkers. These are the people who are going to be changing the Navy, the Department of Defense, or industry as a whole in the next few years. And conversely, I was very disappointed that we didn't have more of the folks who are a little bit older like me who are listening to some of these new ideas and the new thinkers coming down the pike. I know Fred Rainbow from AFSCEO was there. Folks from Naval Institute were there, which is good. But too bad that we didn't have other folks in the defense industry in more senior positions or in the military, because I think there were some interesting ideas that came out of DEF. And especially the people. And when you started talking to them, you really got a sense of what could be happening here within DOD or globally in the next few years. And by the way, actually, I should add, Michael and his guys who decided to have, instead of the standard DOD conference with croissants and bagels at the beginning, I got to tell you, the food was great. They went with these, I don't know who the vendor was, but I know you had nuts and carrots and stuff and hummus, but you also had that vendor from South Carolina who made these really healthy options.
Julian Lama, yes, exactly.
Yeah, fantastic. And you know what? That's when we're talking about a healthy military, when we're, you know, it's great that we have PRTs, but it's another thing when we are not giving the right foods, and I can speak from experience, you know, having had a lot of bad food in my life. But I think a lot more DOD conferences, and I know this was not a DOD conference, but it'd be kind of nice if they got the idea from you folks that there are healthier and just as good options for you too.
Yeah, I really liked seeing that part. Of course, the first speaker was Robert Dyer of Newt's Nutrition with the the Ruck Pack.
Yes, Ruck
Pack.
Yeah,
exactly. Some great stuff there for like healthy energy drinks, and so that was really neat. I like how the talks and the themes were also weaved into the format of the conference, because the same things we talked about, like Andrew Hare from Helicase, he talked about human performance, and then they're right back there on the table. You're taking the concepts that we're hearing and you're applying them to the conference itself as well. Maybe both of you could talk about. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, absolutely, that's something we were really excited about for the conference, and I'd like to give a shout out to Andrew Hare, the presenter who spoke about human performance enhancement and things like that. I would just like to give him a shout out because he connected us with that vendor, Julian Lama, with those very healthy and yet very delicious muffins in the morning. And he really did a lot of work to advise us both before in the planning and logistically the weekend of the event to make sure that we were able to bring in and cater those healthy or helpful type of options. So that was something it was a minor detail, but we were really excited to have that at the conference.
You know, Michael, I hope you write an article or something somewhere, whether it's at the USNI blog or somewhere else, just about – I don't mean to harp just on the food, but I think that was a very understated portion of the event, and that just goes to so many bigger issues within DOD. And again, getting back to the PRT and why when we're on active duty or in reserves, we have to PRT – we have to PT to do our stuff that we do every 6 months. But when you're looking at long-term healthcare costs as a significant portion of the budget, what you really want to do is start getting folks in the military and in industry into a different mindset so that their eating options or other lifestyle choices like smoking or whatever end up having a positive impact on the budget, which people don't necessarily associate healthier living, healthier eating, et cetera, with the impact on our national security, not only in terms of, you know, a soldier being able to run 100 yards in a specific amount of time, but also because of that portion of the federal budget that is devoted toward taking care of people after they've come out of the military.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And it's ironic, too, that you bring up the PRT, because – several of our students coming from the Naval Academy who attended were actually a little bit late to the conference because they had been taking the PRT that morning. So it's funny timing on that, but absolutely, very, very good point.
Plenty good post-workout food there with protein-based breakfast muffins. And that, of course, that can also be bad because then that gives you an excuse like me to just eat a huge pile of them. You're like, oh, they're healthy? Oh, I'll just take six or seven of these little protein muffins, and then defeats the entire purpose of them completely. Maybe not to make favorites or anything like that. Mike and Claude, maybe you could talk about some of the speakers you thought struck you the most, or some really important points that you thought were made during the conference that maybe you'd like to emphasize for the audience. Give them kind of a view of the kind of insight that they can get going to a Defense Entrepreneurs Forum conference.
Yeah, Michael, do you want to go first, or you want me to take a first shot at this?
You can take a first shot. Just mention the ones that struck you, and then I can wrap it up to you with any other point.
Okay. The two that really stood out for me were Rob Dyer, the Marine major, who obviously does not do any of this stuff while he's doing his day job. But he was on Shark Tank, you know, and he was explaining how Ruckpack came to be, how he became an entrepreneur on the in addition to his normal duties. You know, most folks just go home at the end of the day, hang out, and he really impressed me with how he came up with the idea, and this idea of sharing the wealth, I thought was really important, and he's really living that. He said that he had a few guys out in the field who helped him develop it, and he just said, hey, look, I'll give you a share of the company, and now they're all about to do very well because Ruckpack itself is doing extremely well. So Rob was all about karma and good karma, and I think he absolutely nailed it with his talk. I was also impressed by Michael – forgive me if I'm getting his name wrong. It was Andy Herr, H-E-R-R, and the data that he was presenting.
Yeah.
And I think, the issues that he was addressing, and you can go in more depth, but I really like the fact that somebody was coming with data to support some of their contentions. And I thought what he brought to the table was extremely important.
Mike?
We've already mentioned Robert Dyer and Andrew Herr. Those are two of our awesome speakers in the morning. We also had our keynote delivered by Chad Folgum, who formerly was the chief information officer for the FBI, among many other important and influential roles, and is currently heading up a startup called Procredo with another one of our speakers, Skip Moeller. And they're doing some very exciting work, and he gave a very dynamic talk that it seemed like everybody enjoyed. And then I'll just mention too, Skip Moeller was one of our breakout session leaders, and we thought that it'd be a good idea during the conference to, since we had several of these main presenters who would speak for about 20 to 30 minutes and then take questions and answers, we thought we would break that up by having these workshops where we'd split the group up into three different classrooms and have sort of a more roundtable discussion where attendees could, instead of being in receive mode and sort of listening and observing, it could then start contributing to sort of a discussion around the whole room. So we had three of those breakout sessions. Skip led one about entrepreneurship. He had a title, Reality Versus Fiction, and shared some of his experiences from his past endeavors as a serial entrepreneur and as a former defense consultant. We also had Matt himself lead a breakout session called Think, Dare, and Write, and shared some valuable experience and ideas about getting your ideas flushed out into writing and published and circulated, and the importance of that. And then we had another breakout session led by Matt Pagan, who's currently a Marine Corps officer, former graduate from the Naval Academy. And I met him while he was in Chicago at the original Defense Entrepreneurs Forum. And he was able to make the drive up from North Carolina to join us as well. And then further, too, we had a panel earlier in the morning with three gentlemen, Daryl Dipty, who's a lieutenant working down in Norfolk, lieutenant in the Navy, but is the developer for the EVA app, the Emotional Vitality Assistant app, looking to cross some of the bridges in getting PTSD care to our forces that are abroad. And we also had Jim Fouts, who's a former naval officer as well, now retired, and doing some work with a startup of his called Self Solutions. And we also had Josh Diamond, who is currently a Navy lieutenant and one of the three founders of a clothing company called Pennant Hall. So all three of these all three of our panelists had former or current Navy experience or military experience. Didn't have to be Navy. And they were also entrepreneurs who were leading different startups, very different types of startups, but they had those experiences, the ups and downs, looking for the resources, looking for the outreach, and a lot of late nights and a lot of the struggles that any entrepreneur goes through. So they were able to share with all of us some of those types of considerations, especially for a lot of the members in the room that are currently in the service or will be joining the service soon. But also want to have that entrepreneurial side and be able to do work there. So they talked a lot about their current experiences with their different projects, and Jim in particular shared a lot. This is something that I took away personally. He shared a lot about the importance of trust when you're working with different people in the business world, and how there really are no rules, and there really is not everybody lives or operates by any certain code that you can count on. And so there are some inherent difficulties there, and it's just very important to know who you're working with and know who you can trust with anything, because that's a very important part when you're working with a business and putting all of your resources into it.
Yeah, I liked the contrast of Daryl and Daryl Dipty, who lives down the street from me, and Jim Fouts. It's like Angels and the Devil. Daryl Dipty brought the old time innovation revival. Like, I went to the river of disruption. And then Jim comes in and says, hey, guess what? The world doesn't care, and it's an ugly place, and people will stab you in the back. So it was really, really good. And I thought it was important to see both of those perspectives, because often it seems that folks that want to talk about entrepreneurism and innovation want to talk about the good side. They don't want to talk about the dangerous side or the risks or the costs that you could incur. And I also want to throw, you know, we talked a lot about Robert Dyer and Andrew Hare, but really, Chad Fulghum, I thought his keynote was just fantastic. It really, especially from the organizational perspective, you know, we often talk about business, entrepreneurism in business, but we rarely hear about it on an organizational side. So that's always good to hear, and something we do need to hear more of. Maybe best lesson, Claude and Mike, that you walked away from the conference with. So we talked a lot about the actual conference and who was there and what they talked about. The greatest insight you think you got from this group of people, meeting them, talking to them, and hearing the different speakers and the questions people had to ask.
Let Michael go for that first.
Yeah, Mike.
Okay. Well, I would be remiss, too, if I didn't mention another one of our speakers, Josh Prier, the CEO of Earl Energy down in Texas. And he gave a presentation. He had these 5 points, sort of these key lessons to take with you that he had learned over the years, and he shared some of his experiences and stories to really drive those home. And so there was a lot of wisdom shared, a lot of takeaways, and I saw a lot of people taking notes and remembering different quotes or different stories that really taught a lot of different lessons. But for me, I really enjoyed the amount of connection that happened. And one thing that was important to us when we sat down to draft the agenda for the event was scheduling in plenty of time that people would be able to just talk to each other. We had these regular coffee breaks throughout the day and just a couple open times where people could just circulate around the room, you know, find that person that they had seen earlier but didn't get a chance to talk to, you know, trade a business card to this person who might be able to collaborate on a future project. Because I remember that was one of the most important things to me about the event in Chicago. And one of the most lasting ones, too, because I have all these new friendships, relationships, partnerships that grew out of that one event. And I was hoping to provide that opportunity for everyone who came this past weekend. And we had a lot of people. We had our total number came to just under 90. And we had originally set a target at 80 based on the size of our venue, but we ended up needing to expand that. And even then, we sold out the event. We had actually a waiting list coming into the last week. So we definitely had a lot of people there and a lot of people who were really excited to meet and to share. And I guess just the last point I'll make is that something that meant a lot to me through this whole process was something that Ben Coleman actually said when we were spending some time together back in the summer, because I had done an internship down in Norfolk and had the chance to work with him a bit before we even were in Chicago together for DEF. And something he said to me is, he said, whenever he thinks of a club or an organization or a forum or a group or an event that he'd like to be a part of, and he goes out to look for it and he can't find it, he just decides to go ahead and create it, because he knows that if he's interested in it, there's got to be other people out there that are looking for it too. And even if there aren't other people who are actively looking for it, there are people who want to be there and just don't know it yet. And so that takes a lot of mental courage and a lot of perseverance throughout the process of organizing an event like DefX Annapolis, or in Ben's case, organizing the entire forum as an organization, the Defense Entrepreneurs Forum. And that was something that he had said a long time ago, but it meant a lot to me through the whole planning process. And I think it really was a successful event that meant a lot to everybody that came. And you know, it's not the end. The DefX Annapolis right now, as the title refers to that conference, but really it refers to a chapter of DEF, refers to an organization, a network of people. And by no means is this the last time that network will ever come together. And the network has just been born. It certainly will continue to grow. So we look forward to having future events, conferences, hopefully annually, but even just get-together, socials, times to come together and share ideas and network or things like that in the local area.
Claude?
A few of the takeaways that I had, the concept of selling to your leadership. You've got to be, if you've got an idea and you want to be entrepreneurial within the DoD system, you've got to convince leadership with hard data that this is a good idea, that it can work, and that it benefits the system and the organization itself that you're working with. Another one was, and Michael's right, the networking opportunity that always happens with this. The inherent difficulty of a business. I mean, it's great to say you're an entrepreneur. In fact, in the late 1990s, I was a defense contractor, and part of my job was business development within DoD. And I got to tell you, that's a long and tough road, and you've got to devote a lot of hours. And I don't think some people realize how many hours at night, days, weekends, you have to invest to get something going. And I think it's probably double that for as an entrepreneur outside of the DoD system. So the commitment that you have to have, I mean, RUCPAC didn't happen overnight. You know, it's, I think he started it, what, in 2007, 2008? So, and this is when it's, this past year is really when it's been kicking off. And I want to get back to something else that Rob Dyer mentioned, was that good business is not about making just making you money. It's about making other people money as well. And I think we tend to forget that as well. I'm doing a Kickstarter project that's going to be starting up here. We're targeting mid-April, but we're just putting the final touches on it. And it's a lot of hours. And we don't know if it's going to succeed. But I know from listening to some folks at DefX, there were some ideas that I decided to incorporate in my new business and modify my business and marketing plan for this particular project.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you brought up that issue of the long game, because we brought that up in my breakout session as well. A lot of people think innovation or writing or anything you do in life, that's not fair, actually. People realize that about something like playing a piano. It takes a long time. It takes practice. People seem to think that innovation is just, wow, I had a great idea and here it is. Wow, world's changing. No, it's not like that. Just like B.J. Armstrong's book, 21st Century Mahan, he digs in and he says, look, this is a vast body of work. There's not just one seminal book that everyone looks at. It stands atop a mountain of articles and other books and letters to the editor. And same thing with writing. You know, it's not – you just don't put Absolutely. One article and leave it out there. You have to campaign for it. You have to write follow-on works. And same with innovation. You come up with a great idea, fantastic. Maybe everyone else doesn't realize – yeah. Go ahead, Claude.
Yeah, in fact, there was somebody who approached me after your breakout session on writing, and they said, you know, I want to do this, but you know what, I sent an article to such and such magazine and it was rejected. And I was like, well, how many of you written and sent out? He said, well, that was the first one. And I said, no.
Yeah.
Just like Ted Williams. You know, Ted Williams was the last major league ball player to have a 400 plus season for batting. And you've got to look at it like that. You know, your first 10 articles you might get one or two published. Maybe you'll hit the mother load and the first one gets right into, I don't know, Foreign Affairs or Time Magazine or whatever. But chances are you've got to work at this. You've got to hone your message. You've got to practice your trade. You know, and I go to a lot of writers' conferences up in New York and elsewhere. And the same thing is said over and over again. You don't really become an overnight success. It's that the people who have overnight success are the people who have been doing it for 5, 10, 15 years.
Exactly. Absolutely. And I don't think it's just, people just get discouraged often too easily, or it's that level of fear where they say, oh, maybe I'm not good enough. But you know, you don't do something until you do it. So you just have to do it right. Over and over and over, just like everything else in life. But there are just some things – like business with entrepreneurism or writing, where people have this weird fear that they don't seem to have in other things. Like guys who play basketball or any sports in high school and elementary school, they just play them. If they're bad, they play them until they're good. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's some fields that people – maybe it's just because of the public eye that's put on that that kind of operation. But, yeah, I mean, people have to buckle down sometimes and accept that there will be failure. But failure is how you learn too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but thankfully Mike didn't have to learn from failure. He learned from a fantastic success.
Well, there definitely were some hiccups and some things that we had to learn the hard way, but overall we've gotten a lot of good feedback, including from you gentlemen right now, and it's great to hear that, and it's really encouraging. And I just wanted to highlight too, this entire conversation was also happening back in October at Chicago, and the word that we really used to sum it up was grit. Grit referring to that, you know, ability to put your head down and just keep going after your idea because you're really passionate about it, even with, you know, with the successes and with the failures. So grit is definitely an idea that I took back from Chicago back in October, and I think it's really important to this entire discussion of entrepreneurship, and especially entrepreneurship in the military.
Yeah, and something a question someone brought up that I thought was a very good reality check as well, as they said, okay, so you've got a great idea, something you think is great, and you're trying really hard and you're pushing. What happens when you realize, or how do you realize that it's a bad idea? So that's something that maybe we overlook when it comes to innovation and enterprise as well, is that for all of our passions, the best one of our ideas may turn out to be a terrible idea that has to be let go sometimes. But again, that's part of the maturity and the learning process. Gentlemen, before we cut this off, because it is Sunday, so we're cutting this right after the DEF conference, so it's fresh for Monday. Is there anything else that you want to plug? Claude, you talked about your Kickstarter campaign. Mike, you just finished DEF, so I don't know if you have anything else coming up.
In terms of DEFX Annapolis?
Or anything.
Right now
anything
we're...
you want to plug.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. The DEFX Annapolis is up on all of your standard social media, so if you want to find it on Facebook or on Twitter at DEF Annapolis, please do. They will be sharing insights, photos, memories, lessons from this past weekend, but that's also a forum that we'll use to get out the word about future events. And there's also a survey too, so for any of the attendees, that they could provide some feedback that we can use in future events. So Defense Entrepreneurs Forum as a national organization will be holding another conference in 2014 in October. Location is not official yet, not maybe Chicago again, but I highly recommend it. It'll be over most likely a three-day weekend, and it was pivotal for me. I mean, it's the whole reason that this past weekend even happened in the first place. So I highly encourage people to get plugged into the network. It's a great group of people, and it's been very exciting to work with them so far.
Perfect. Claude?
No, that's it. I appreciate the time, Matt, and you know, always, as I mentioned in my talk about the 1830s Navy, that all these officers decided to organize, and they would get assistance from popular literary figures like Washington Irving and James Fenimore Cooper.
Absolutely.
So it's always important to support people who are sympathetic to the Navy and writing fiction. So, and if folks want, the Aiden Effect is available at Naval Institute Press. So there's my shameless plug.
Absolutely. And for anything else coming out of the Naval Institute Press, because like you said during your presentation, it's not just about defense. Like we had at the conference, it's not just military officers. It's other people who may be either sympathetic to the organization or even the ideals that we hold. Mm-hmm. It's important for us as an organization and for us as a society to be able to bring that perspective to people. Now, before we head out, I do want to make a plug for some stuff going on at SimSec. First of all, obviously, during this really fun conference, there's a lot of really not fun things going on, namely the Ukraine. We have two articles up from Sunday that are on the Ukraine. Really great analysis. Kiev Calling with a Historical Perspective from Robert Rasmussen, and NATO on the Edge, Obama's Reply of Honorius. Is that, am I pronouncing that right, Claude?
I think Honorius, I think,
Honorius?
Is the emperor you're referring
Perfect.
To.
Perfect. Yeah. Excellent. Okay, Honorius. Obama's reply of Honorius, which I think is a fantastic view by Martin Skold of what the United States is going to have to do. It's about it's essentially about deterrence theory, and it's very good with that historical perspective. Two other things going on. Sea Control, obviously it's your favorite podcast, is expanding. We are going to expand to an Anglo-European or British-European, or I'm not sure what to call it yet, because the Brits involved want to make sure that we know that they are not the continent. They are Britain, not Europe. So we'll have to figure out the naming convention on that, but we will have a Sea Control from the Eastern Atlantic perspective. And then we will also be adding a podcast from the Asia Pacific. ASPI is going to be working on that. So rather than me, the United States guy, trying to push out perspective of these many different players, we're going to have those players come to you and give you their own thoughts. So that's going to be really exciting. You can find SimSec at www.cimsec.org and on Twitter at CIMSEC. Claude, Mike, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks a lot, Matt.
Thank you, Matt.